We did, but you sang it really well. Thank you. All right. So, here we are on the last day of Stronghold Machin Camp. Did everybody have a good time? All right. So my job in this last session is not to teach you anything new, but basically to go over everything that we've done, right? All the ground that we've covered, and to give you some encouragements and some challenges as you go away from here, so that these things that we've learned won't just stay in the dusty attics of our minds, but so we can sort of be putting them into practice, right? So, first of all, I thought this would be fun. What did we learn from the feast? Well, I don't know if you guys looked over at the head table, but, and if you remember the monarch battle, right? Family is complicated, right? Families get messy, right? There's relational issues that run really deep in families, deeper than any other earthly relationships because we're so close. And it can take a lot of effort to work out those issues, can't it? Right? And sometimes it can be easy to be tempted to just, you know, walk away and live in a cave and eat cheese all day, right? But working out our issues as in our families takes effort, it takes time, but it's so worth it, right? Reconciliation is a beautiful thing. I mean, look how happy the dwarf queen and the king were with their new son and grandson being so weird and bizarre and just having a great time, right? That was a... Yeah, they were really weird. But the point is that it was fun to see a family kind of coming back together and to see that, you know, they were committed to working out their issues. So, you know, when you go home to your families, there'll be issues. Don't run off in a cave and eat cheese all day, right? Ask God for wisdom and grace and do what you can to work on those relationships, because it really is worth it, as far as it depends on you, right? As far as it depends on you. All right. So in our first chapel session together, we learned that we dwell in God, right? He's our dwelling place in all generations, right? Because God is everywhere all the time. And He has also made a special world for us to dwell in. And that world has certain rules, and those rules govern us and limit us and in many ways define us. And one of those rules that He made is time, which we've been looking at in detail this week, right? And we talked about how God dwells outside of time in eternity. And in our second session together, we learned that God has the power of eternal self-existence in and of Himself, right? His holy covenant name, I am who I am, proves that He can't be defined by anything outside Himself, because everything outside Himself has been made. He is the only one who has the power of self-existence, self-defining existence. And we also talked about and learned about how God has always been and will always be supremely happy in Himself. He looks at everything that He has done, everything that He is, and He is satisfied. He is complete. God, from all eternity, was never bored. He was never lonely. He was never lacking in glory. But we also talked about some reasons why God created the world. And ultimately, we came to the conclusion that we don't really know, but we can at least see at least three reasons. And one of them is that it's because it pleased Him to do so, right? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases, right? Also, because God is an artist. He's a creator, and He loves to create, right? Artists make art. Creators create. That's just who God is, and that's part of who He has imaged us to be. And God created the world because He loves us. Before the foundation of the world, He loved you. And He created the world because He loves you, and so that He can love you. So, my encouragement for you from that is to worship God. Right? Worship means giving praise to that which is worthy of praise, right? Worth-ship. And who's greater than God? Who's more amazing than God, the one who created everything, who existed in eternity, who created the world just because he loves us? And, you know, Psalm 150 is a good summary. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellence, greatness. I love that phrase, excellent greatness. He's great, and it is excellent greatness. So, in our third session, we talked about how the past is set in stone. It can never be changed, right? That time is sort of this river that is constantly flowing, and things are constantly moving from a state of unknown to a state of known, right? And we talked about how the past is an essential source of wisdom for us as we live our lives, because it will never change. It will always stay the same. We can always look back to it and find a rock that we can anchor our understanding on, right? In that session, we did a giant flashback from creation, all the way through to the time of Jesus, sort of an overview of biblical history, if you will. And we saw that everything that God has done ultimately points to Jesus, right? It points to him as the new Adam who saves us from our sins. It points to him as the point of creation, the ultimate end of creation, and the ultimate source of the new creation. So, my encouragement to you from that message is learn from the past, right? Look to what God has done in the past, right? Learn from the successes and mistakes of people in the Bible, both from the heroes of the Bible, the heroes of the faith that did great things and also messed up greatly, right? And also from people in your life, right? Talk to wise mentors, counselors, your parents. Learn what their past was like. Learn lessons from them. And don't forget the lessons that you've learned in your own life, right? As you look to the past, see what you can glean and take away so that you can live wisely, right? As it says, give ear, O people, give ear. In our fourth session, we learned all about prophecy, right? We talked about how only God knows the end from the beginning, and so he's able to perfectly predict the future, right? He doesn't guess, he doesn't prognosticate, right? He's got it all planned out, and it's been planned out from before the beginning. And so God isn't hoping it's going to be a certain way. He makes it be a certain way, and it must be that way because it is his plan. We talked about how God's prophecies are different from human so-called prophecies, especially ones that are just hippy-dippy baloney, right? That are just made up false prophecies. In our Bible study time, we even did a deep dive into the prophet Micaiah and how he appeared before Ahab, and he had 400 false prophets all saying the same false message, and he alone had the guts to speak up and say what was true. We talked about how God's prophecies are so sure, so just going to happen, that they're sometimes delivered in past tense, right? We talked about how, from God's perspective, everything is set in stone, not just the past, but the present and the future as well. He knows exactly what's going to happen, and his plans are so final and complete that he can give a prophecy in past tense because, from his perspective, it's already happened, right? The time factor is inconsequential. And so my encouragement to you from that is that God is in total control of everything that happens in your life. Everything. And there are going to be times in your life where you're going to feel like the universe is out of control. Things are out of control. You're going to be tempted to think, uh-oh, God must have fallen asleep at the wheel because things are just unraveling, And surely it can't be in God's plan for things to be this chaotic. Well, it is. God is in total control. His promises and his plans for your life can't be stopped by anyone, right? Satan can't mess up God's promises for your life, right? The voices in the world that seek to pull you astray, they can't ultimately stop God's plans for your life. And this is a comfort to me. We can't mess up God's plans for our lives, right? Jesus says, the Father has given to me and no one can pluck them from my hand. That means me. I'm so grateful for that promise, because if it weren't for that promise, I'd be afraid that I'd be able to run far enough away from God that he wouldn't be able to catch me. But thankfully, that is not true. So when you mess up, don't think that God is surprised. He's not surprised by your mistakes. Yes, they were part of his plan. The good news is that he can bring good out of your evil. So turn to him with all your heart. Grieve your sin, right? Grieve the fact that you turned from him, but do so with hope that God's plan is able to redeem even your sins and turn it for good, right? Give him your heart. Give him all your love, because he is so, so deserving of it. In our fifth session together, we talked about now and how it's now, right now, right? And how now is, in many ways, the most important moment in our lives, because it's the only moment we can actually change, right? The future's too far off for us to control. The past is set in stone, but now is the time that we can change. We talked about how now is the favorable time, the day of salvation, right? Exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, right? It's always, right now is praise God o'clock. It's serve God o'clock. Trust God now, right? We also talked about how God provides for us day by day, not all at once. He doesn't give us everything that we need all at once for our lives. He renews our strength day by day, right? As our days are, so shall our strength be. Right? When I went to bed last night, my strength was gone. And when I woke up this morning, by God's grace, God had renewed my strength enough for the day ahead. And God does that every day of our lives, right? We talked about the manna from heaven, God's provision for the people of Israel, and how he gave them just enough for each day, but not so much that they would stop trusting in God. And we talked about how when the people of Israel tried to hoard that provision, that it was disgusting. It was both disgusting to them because it bred worms and stank, but it was disgusting in God's sight because they weren't trusting him. They weren't believing that he was going to provide for them. And so that's why we pray, as our Lord taught us, give us this day our daily bread. Not give us all the bread that we'll need right now. Give us this day our daily bread. We walk day by day with God, trusting in his grace, because our desperate need is of God's grace, and he gives us that as well day by day. We talked about that famous passage in Lamentations, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Amen. And we also talked about the fact that we live in the days of already but not yet, right? The victory has been won, but we don't yet fully see that victory consummated, right? Satan is already defeated, but he's not yet thrown into the lake of fire, right? And so my encouragement to you from this message is, don't live your life in the rearview mirror. It's important to know the past, to study the past, but don't be so focused on your past mistakes and failures and weaknesses that you wreck your car emotionally because you weren't looking ahead. And strain toward what lies ahead, right? Strain toward the path that God is calling you. Remember the baseball analogy? The home run's been hit. All we need to do is run the bases, right? So, In our sixth session together, we looked at the book of Revelation, did a bit of a deep dive into part of Revelation 22, and we saw what glorious things await us in the future. And we talked about how God's words of everything that he showed us there, as wild and as amazing it is trustworthy and true. We saw a beautiful picture of everlasting joy for Christians, right? We saw the water of life springing from the throne of God, right? The water that when we drink it will make us never thirsty again. Jesus completely satisfying all of our needs. We saw the tree of life, that tree which Adam and Eve could not partake of, which had to be guarded by a flaming sword. It is now just growing on the side of the river for anyone to take of with healing in its leaves. Passage said that we will see his face, right? Only the pure in heart can see God. We will see him directly. His name will be on our foreheads, just like he has graven our names on the palms of his hands. So close and so beautiful will be our relationship with him. We talked about how there will be no night in heaven anymore, because we will be dwelling with the God who is unapproachable light, and yet we will be able to approach him and walk in the coolness of the day. There'll be no lack of knowledge in heaven. There'll be no darkness of any kind. There will just be light and joy and radiance. And we will reign with God and with Jesus forever and ever. We also saw a scary picture for those who have not trusted in Christ, that they will appear before the throne, that books will be opened, and they will be judged according to everything that they've done. And those without perfect records, that is the perfect righteousness of Christ, will be thrown into the lake of fire. And we saw a glorious picture of the wedding feast that awaits the bride of Christ, right? All of those who are one in Jesus, who have trusted him for salvation, that we will join him in a deeper oneness and union than is possible here on earth, right? We also talked about how we have to wait for our bridegroom to return, and how Satan is going to try to win our hearts in the meantime and try to get us to give up on Jesus and to marry him instead, because he looks appealing, he's handsome and rich and says he has all the nations, and why don't we give up on Jesus and just worship him? So my encouragement to you from this message is wait for Jesus as a faithful fiancé. Don't settle for a lesser love. Wait faithfully for him. He is worth it. And keep your eyes on the prize like Paul did, right? He strained ahead for the future hope that he had in Christ, right? Jesus himself ran the race with his eyes focused on what awaited him. So, final encouragements for you, dear brothers and sisters. God is glorious. And I know that those words are hollow compared to the reality, and I wish I had a better way of saying it, but God's glory is just so amazing. And the more you dig into Scripture, the more you spend time with him in prayer, you can just get a sense of that. You can get a taste of the fringes of what that glory is like. But he is so glorious. And I want you to experience more of that. Moses was right to say, show me your glory. His heart was in the right place. And our hearts should be saying to God, show me your glory. Take me to be with you. Make me without sin so that I can see your glory and not be consumed. Okay? God is glorious. God is also sovereign. He's in perfect control of everything. Like I said, it's going to feel sometimes like he's not in control. Some of you heard my testimony yesterday in Bible study, how when I was a younger person, I thought that there couldn't possibly be a God in control over everything. But there is. He is in control. He does rule the world with truth and grace, right? So God is sovereign. And not only is God glorious and sovereign, he's good. this one might be the easiest one for us to doubt when things are really bad. When we see, when we read about bad news or we experience tragedy in our lives, it can be sometimes for us easy to doubt that God is good, right? How could a good God allow this? But I may not know how all the threads of divine sovereignty come together. I may not know exactly how the middle of the story is going to tie into the ends, but I do know that God is good. That is an unshakable truth that I encourage you, brothers and sisters, never let go of. Never, ever let go. No matter what happens, no matter what comes, God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Every chapter of your life will have an ultimate payoff in heaven. When you read a story, there's oftentimes where the author will sort of start a story thread and then leave it hanging for a while, right? And as a reader, you're like, I really want to see that storyline resolved, right? I want to see that payoff. At the end, I want to see that come together. And often when you're reading a book or you're watching a show and it ends, the way to really make your reader or your viewer mad is not to resolve any of those subplots. You're like, well, what about this character? What happened to them? What about this, right? Don't worry. Every single chapter of your life will be paid off in heaven. There will be an ultimate ending to every single story thread, and it will be beautiful and glorious. God has a plan. Don't you doubt that. I don't know what it's going to be, and I can't imagine how he would take all these threads, but he will do it because he's promised he will do it. So God's story is just so much bigger than any story we could ever write, right? I mean, it's all of the stories of all of the people throughout all of history, all perfectly working together according to his plan to bring about exactly what he wants. He's so much bigger than we are and so much more worthy of our praise. So walk with him and trust that he will conclude his story, not just with a happy ending, but with a happy new beginning, right? A new heavens, a new earth, a brand new story, a brand new chapter one of perfect, endless bliss that will get better and better and better and never have an end. That's what awaits us. Amen? So we say, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Let's all say that together. Amen, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you are so wonderful, majestic, glorious. Lord, we are not worthy of the least of your blessings, and you have given us not only this good world, but you have given us yourself and these amazing, glorious promises of your perfect control and how you will work everything for your glory and our good. Lord, we love you. Please be with us as we finish out this last day at camp. Give us the strength that we need and help us always to remember how glorious and good you are and that you are in control of all time. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn in your songbooks to Great is Thy Faithfulness.